What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Louisiana is falling into the ocean. We've already lost 2,000 square miles of land, an area about the size of Delaware. We're on track to lose a lot more in the decades to come. For years, scientists and engineers said that we had one really great shot to fight back. It was the $3 billion Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion Project, funded with BP oil spill money, backed by decades of research. It promised to rebuild 21 square miles of wetlands. It was a chance to work with the Mississippi River instead of against it. The Mississippi, the same force that built the state in the first place. We could work with the river to save our coastline, protect millions of people from rising seas and monster storms. But a few weeks ago, Governor Jeff Landry killed it, canceled it, gone, dead ski. After years of planning, $600 million already spent. After groundbreaking last year, the project is dead. Jeff Landry and other state officials claim it's about cost. They claim it's about protecting fisheries. But coastal scientists have been warning us that canceling this project is a political decision that leaves us more vulnerable to hurricanes, saltwater intrusion, and the very permanent loss of those fisheries, of our culture, and our communities. Joining us on the line to help discuss this today is David Muth. He's retired from the National Park Service after 30 years, did 11 years with the NWF and the Gulf Restoration Program, Restore the Mississippi Delta. Quite a pedigree there. David, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time today.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Ian.
When you first heard that the Mid-Barataria Project was officially canceled, what went through your mind? What was your sort of top-line reaction?
Well, I mean, I was heartbroken. There had been decades and decades of planning and effort and public meetings and official public hearings and the best minds working on the issue of coastal Louisiana. And it had been a dream. And knowing, as we all knew, as you so ably summarized this, there's only one out for us, and that's the force that built us in the first place, which is the Mississippi River, the sixth largest river in the world, carrying a tremendous amount of sediment and wasting it in the Gulf of Mexico. But our one hope was to harness that sediment. It was a pipe dream until the silver lining of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, and suddenly the money was there and the will was there. And the public support was there, with over 80% of Louisiana voters in favor, even in the coastal parishes where the supposed impact is going to be. And they actually started building it, and they spent $618 million on it. And now it's gone just with a snap of the finger, without any public hearings, without any public discussion, with, frankly, dubious explanations as to why, and dubious explanations to the state legislature. So I'm heartbroken. This is a betrayal of the public trust of epic proportions.
Is there any chance a future administration can pick up where we left off?
A future administration will have to pick up where we left off. The Mississippi River is going to flow into the Barataria Basin, whether we plan it and build it ourselves or let nature take its course. We are sinking and the sea is rising. And that's a formula that says the Mississippi River is going to find a new way out. We either spend way more than the cost of this diversion trying to hold the river where it is over the next 30, 40, 50 years, or we plan its escape. And I just want to emphasize that this diversion was just the beginning. To save Southeast Louisiana from the rising sea, we have to tap as close to 100% of the sediment that the river carries as humanly possible. And this was just the beginning. Mid-Barataria was simply going to be the beginning, the first of many, because we have to get it all out of the river. We have to get all of it. And even if we get all of it out, we may not survive. But our one chance to survive is to tap the river. And we just set ourselves back by at least a decade. And that's a tragedy, because that's 10 more years of land loss, 10 more years of rising seas, 10 more years of subsidence, 10 more years of damage to the ecological resources of Southeast Louisiana. And 10 is a guess. It might be 15 years. It might be 20 years before we can do this. And you know that when we do it in 10 or 20 years, it's going to cost way more than the money that the governor now claims we're saving. Of course, we're not saving it. We just flushed $600 million down the drain. And there is no other source of funds at this point.
Governor Landry, in attempting to explain this away, made himself, I think, kind of sound like a savior to people who work in the seafood industry. He said this project was going to threaten our seafood industry and our coastal culture. And I know that you and other scientists, your colleagues, are not unsympathetic to people who have something to lose from a project like this. The way that I kind of explained it a little bit earlier before you came on was, if you have a cancer diagnosis and you are afraid of getting sick because of the chemotherapy, and you choose not to take the chemotherapy, you'll probably get sick and die anyway. But at least if you take the chemotherapy, there are ways that you can lessen the pain. So for the people who have things to lose in the seafood industries, in these communities, you know, in the Birdfoot and Plaquemines Parish that have the most to lose from this project taking place, we could have done more to make it right, to relocate you, or I don't know. It's not up to me. I don't know about all the sorts of different job trainings and things that we could have done to take away the pain of any loss of livelihood that may have occurred in those communities. But now they've just, it seems like we've just took them out back and shot them in the back of the head anyway. Now you get nothing. Am I being too dramatic about that?
No, I mean, in the short term, this project was going to dislocate where you could harvest certain species, like oysters, which of course are on the bottom, they can't move. It was going to dislocate where you could catch brown shrimp in the bay, or where speckled trout were going to be at the end of the summer. All of that was going to change. And there is, within the project, already funded, already there, the money was already there, to put tens of millions of dollars into helping people through that transition. You can't freshen the Gulf of Mexico. Oysters require certain salinities to thrive. Those salinities are going to be there. They're just going to be in a different place. And the same is true of brown shrimp. The same is true of white shrimp, which are going to thrive with this. The same, I mean, and obviously for many species, whether it's crawfish or ducks or a largemouth bass or a whole host of other species, we were going to be creating habitat for those species. But the other side of this is that the habitat that oysters and brown shrimp and all of these other estuarine species depend upon has been disappearing. It has been moving inland. It has been moving inland for centuries. And over the last 100 years, the pace of that movement has been catastrophic. And as you say, the end of that game, this is a zero-sum game. When the estuaries are gone, everything that depends on them is going to be gone. We depend in a place in a delta like here in Louisiana on the cycle. We have to have fresh water, land building deltas being built while older sections of the delta are eroded away. That's the cycle that creates our unbelievable productivity. In the 20th century, we interrupted the cycle. We have the erosion, we have the subsidence, we have the increasing salt, but we were not offsetting it with new fresh water and sediment. And that's what these diversions are about. It's about restoring that balance, which is what created not only the land we depend on, but the incredible productivity of coastal Louisiana. If you don't offset the incoming sea, especially when you're speeding it up by sea level rise, then the end is no wetlands at all.
On that note, let's step away for just a moment and get some commercials out of the way. David Muth is my guest, and we will be back with him in just a brief moment. If there's anything you'd like me to ask him or run past him before we say goodbye, you can do that on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1070. If you are driving or operating heavy machinery while listening to this conversation, please do not put your head in your hands, as I have just done. Keep your eyes on the prize, folks. We'll be right back after this. Thanks for
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sticking around, my guest is David Muth. David, I'm going to pull in some questions from our talk audience. They're a smart group, smarter than me in a lot of ways, and I always like to make sure they have a chance to get their voices heard in these conversations as well. Here's a text that says, what about opening the Atchafalaya spillway during high river stages instead of the Bonnie Carey spillway? The former is more of a freshwater environment and ecosystem where Lake Pontchartrain is brackish. We could rebuild from the top to the bottom rather than the opposite. Know why they don't open the Atchafalaya Basin spillway? Because rich ranchers use those public grants for grazing. Politicians get their palms greased. Setting aside that last bit there, what do you think, David, about what the texter said about rebuilding from the top to the bottom rather than the opposite? There's also a text in here that says the quantity and quality of the sediment, you know, isn't what it used to be because of other things that are happening upriver. What's your take?
On the Atchafalaya, obviously the question about, you know, how we distribute the water through the various distributaries is a very valid question, and it's something that we in the NGO community has encouraged the Corps of Engineers to study seriously. They were in the middle of a big study of that when the administration canceled the study this year, but that was called the Lower Mississippi River Comprehensive Study. They were several years into it, and it just got canceled. But that is not going to be enough of a substitute for what we're losing in southeast Louisiana. There's plenty of water. There's plenty of sediment in the river. The argument is that the sediment isn't what it used to be. Of course, the only data we have for how much sediment the river carries is the last 100 years or so. Mm. And that is the period when we were busting the sod in the Great Plains. We were cutting down all the forests in the Ohio Valley and the Tennessee Valley.
Yeah.
So, yes, the sediment load was very high over the last century, and it's much lower now.
Fascinating.
But to suggest that because it's lower now, we shouldn't use it is, frankly, very strange. I mean, if you're crawling across the desert and you need fresh water, are you going to argue over whether there's a gallon or 2 gallons? You're going to take whatever water is there.
Give me the water.
And the Mississippi River is still full of sediment. As the Corps of Engineers can tell you, since they have to spend $100 million a year dredging Southwest Pass in order for ships to get in.
While we wait for some future administration to just once, just for one hot second, put science ahead of politics, what other projects are still in play that could start to help to come close to replacing the impact of this decision?
There aren't any. Look, The state, you mentioned the politics. We have had four governors, two Democrats, two Republicans, who have done their best to keep politics out of the decisions that we make about coastal restoration, knowing how critical that was. We saw this state reform the way we manage our levee boards, depoliticize the levee boards after Katrina. We depoliticized our coastal program after Katrina. We, as taxpayers, voted to dedicate all of the state offshore revenue to the coastal program. This governor has now repoliticized our levee boards and repoliticized our coastal program so that we're back to where we were before Katrina. We're back to the period when decisions were made not based on science, not based on public input, not based on what is best for the people, but simply on whatever political decision and whoever can influence the governor. And that's a sad and sorry state of affairs.
Well, at least we got the Ten Commandments up in the classrooms, right, David?
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah, at least we got
that
going
either,
for us. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, here's a text. I think we all got a little confused by that last text. Here's a text that says, you're talking about the Morganza spillway, not Atchafalaya. I think that's correct, right?
Well, actually, there are three spillways that go through the Atchafalaya Basin. There's the Atchafalaya, the West Atchafalaya. There's water that can come in through the Old River Control Structure. And through the Morganza spillway. But all of them either take Red River water or Mississippi River water. They're critical. They're critically important during a big flood. When we're talking about the Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion, we're not talking about Bonnet Coulee. We're not talking about the spillways. We're not talking about flood years. We're talking about normal years, about getting water out and, most critically, getting sediment out during a normal year. And obviously, during big flood years, you can move a lot more, but this is not the same as a spillway.
Can you just say, in the closing minutes here, we're not in a rush, but we are drawing to a close, what does losing this project mean specifically for storm surge protection, hurricane resilience in Plaquemines Parish and in the New Orleans Metro?
Well, again, all of these issues are complex and long term, but obviously building a new marsh platform between the greater New Orleans area, and that includes all of Upper Plaquemines Parish, and it includes the whole West Bank of Orleans and Jefferson and St. Charles Parishes, would reduce the threat of storm surge. Does it go to zero? No, of course it doesn't go to zero. But it's about increasing your odds. And, you know, there as anyone who lives inside the levee system in Lower Sluiskin Parish or in Terrebonne Parish, what you don't want is salt water lapping against your levees. It's very hard to grow grass on a levee with salt water. What you want is to be surrounded by freshwater systems that are thriving. We paid the price in Hurricane Katrina when what had been a thriving freshwater swamp and marsh system was destroyed by the Mississippi River Gulf outlet, by the salt that came in. And that's what we're doing to the rest of the system now. By not having river water, by not having freshwater marsh being built, by not sustaining the few areas where live oaks grow on the old natural levees, you go through South Louisiana and the live oaks are dying everywhere. They're dying because of the salt. You put the fresh water back in, you can sustain trees on the ridges, even on the canal spoil banks. They will not grow when it all becomes salt. So it's you know, it's a complex system, but we are far more sustainable. We are far safer over the long term with fresh marsh and swamp between us and the Gulf.
I always see conversations like this where somebody's, you know, interviewing a scientist or an environmentalist. You know, is there anything that we should be hopeful about, or at least, you know, while we're picking up the pieces of this terrible decision, is there anything we learned from that decision-making process that we can use moving forward, something we might not have known before, something that might make it easier in the future, anything we can come away feeling like, okay, well, this wasn't a total loss?
Well, look, we all know I'm a lifelong citizen of Louisiana. I've been here almost 71 years. We all know that Louisiana is used to coming in 50th or 49th or 48th or never good in comparison with other states. Where we were leading the world was in our coastal science and our coastal program and our adaptation to a very serious situation. The whole world is seeing sea level rise because of climate change. The whole world is. But we were seeing it as fast or faster than anyone else because we're on a sinking delta. And we saw the consequences of that when Katrina and Rita hit. And we responded and we put together an unbelievably progressive program that is admired around the world. We can do it in Louisiana. We will have to do it again, or else we're all going to move. And so I think that's the silver lining. What we have to do is be on guard against politics as usual. And unfortunately, right now, it's politics as usual.
My guest this hour has been David Muth, retired from the National Park Service, the National Wildlife Federation, Restore the Mississippi River Delta. David, we all learned a lot today. Thank you for your time, your work, and your way. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
You betcha. We will get a look at traffic, and we'll be right back after this on WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.